Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. On today's episode, we gave you a blueprint on how to build your own full body program using the 7 foundational movement patterns and why we like using full body. That was in the back half of the show. And in the front half of the show, we mentioned our training nutrition. And Brock asked me, if I was his coach, what would I do in his situation regarding his training and nutrition? So don't miss that. All right, enjoy the show.
Alrighty. How are you, man?
Yeah, good, brother. Good. What about yourself?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Good. Yeah, can't complain. I'm a busy man at the moment, but busy is good.
Yep.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, it's good, man. What did I get up to? I know on Thursday we went to that cooking school.
Yeah, how was that?
It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Yeah. I didn't think it would be as fun as it was. Like 4 hours in the kitchen. The bloke loves to tell a story, that's for sure. But yeah, we made like some dessert, some gnocchi, like beef ragu gnocchi, all from scratch. And what else did we make? What are the ones where you put like pumpkin in and stuff?
I don't know. You're the one telling the story.
Mate, some sort of other pasta. Probably should have had it written down. And then we, what else did we have? Just like made some bread, kind of bread thing with like a ham sandwich and stuff. So it was good. It was like a 4-course meal and had a bit of wine with it. And then we stayed up in the Barossa for the weekend. Well, not for the weekend, for that night. And yeah, it was good. Played like Monopoly Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun. So yeah, other than that, just went to the gym and worked for a bit.
How's the chasing the squat and deadlift going?
Yeah, so like I said, this 4-week block is going to be concentrating more on like some pauses. I'm really concentrating on my heel elevated squats. So I've had to drop the weight a bit. So I think I got 110 throughout the week, but that's like heel elevated. So I've gone a lot deeper because yeah, when I was squatting without it, I was like, man, I did not look like I could squat. So that was good. I was happy with that. I did bench today, spotto style again. So I was only 105 because I didn't have a spotter. And my deadlift, I was just doing, so I had it on Monday. I don't usually train on Mondays. I don't feel as strong, but I just want to get in there because I hadn't for a while, as in like gone into the gym. Cause like this last week I haven't been at a gym. So I've just been like in a stage, just working out at the garage and stuff. So I got into the gym and it was only, I think 120, but only for like 2 or 3. So that one's just chilling at the moment. Did some rack pulls and stuff. So just supplemental stuff with it. Bulgarians for the squat. And yeah, they're killers. Hack squats, all that kind of stuff. Did like incline dumbbell presses today. Felt okay, like 37 and a halves. Not too bad. So yeah, that's how I'm going. I've been at maintenance for the last probably 3 weeks now. So I felt like I've been into a deficit for too long and just not had enough consistency. So because I've dropped from 102.5 down to, I'm like 96 now. So 6 kilos in maybe 4 or 5 months. And they've just been like sprints of get in and out with my fat loss.
Yep.
So right now I'm just like, no, I want to have like a good month. I'm even thinking maybe 2 months now of just being at maintenance, just really feeling these lifts, feeling like how strong I can get them. And then I'll see, or maybe after the 8-week block has gone, I'll go into a fat loss phase and be a bit more smarter with some training. So yeah, that's where I'm at, man.
Enjoy training whilst fueled.
Yeah, it's good. Like I'll finish like my third meal or something. And usually that's where I'd stop. I'm like, oh, I've actually got a lot more calories to go. I'm like, this is weird. Because I'm so used to used to not having as much to play with, but you're like, fuck, there's actually a lot of food you can have. So,
Yeah, if you're smart with food choices, there's a lot of food you can have.
yeah, because I usually am more like lower carb. I don't know. I don't like rice that much. Like, it's okay, but I usually tend to pick just meals that are like more higher in fat a little bit, and then no real carb source. But now I'm just like, oh yeah, some sweet potato, bit of rice here and there. I can you butter it.
Yeah, see,
But yeah.
I'm the opposite. I'm eating all the rice.
Yeah, you love it, don't you?
If they say you are what you eat, I'm surprised I'm not a grain of rice by now. Now, there is something that I wanted to ask you about, because you being a trainer coach yourself, and this is, I feel, an interesting topic. So I stayed in Bondi when I was down in Sydney, and my good Lord, I've never seen more abs and good bodies in my life in the one location.
Okay.
I felt out of place having a singlet on, walking on the Bondi to
Really?
Bronte. What? And it's just because I'm currently trying to build muscle and gaining a bit of excess weight at the moment. It's just that mental battle of, do I keep pushing through this, or do I prioritize being lean and feeling lean, more than gaining a little bit more muscle? So for me, I've been thinking probably the last 2 days since coming back in particular of, do I sack off this building muscle earlier than I initially intended, just because I'm starting to feel a bit blah in myself and my appearance, which is a totally normal thing for people to feel. But am I just going to be building? Sorry, building. Am I just going to be gaining the same 4 to 5 kilos and losing the same 4 to 5 kilos in not going fully into a gaining phase? So the question I had for you is, if I was your client, what would your recommendations be, knowing that we are coming into winter, so I probably won't be taking my shirt off as often, and I am currently probably the strongest I've ever been and close to biggest I've ever been. I say close to, because I've been bigger before, but not with as much muscle mass. So I'm sort of torn between, maybe I'd take a like I do a 2 week mini cut just to lose some of a little bit of the fluff and feel a bit better, or whether I keep pushing through, or whether I change, because I was going to start dieting around my birthday, but whether I change that strategy and maybe start dieting to be in good shape before my birthday, which is September. So
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's one of these things of like asking you where you actually feel comfortable and how much body fat you actually can live with. Because obviously asking the question right now, going to Bondi and seeing all these people, there's obviously maybe a small insecurity in you of like, I don't fit in here. I'm a trainer. Why don't I look like this? Maybe I need to mini cut. And then you go back to Queensland or whatever, and it's cold, or actually, it's probably
It's
warm up
cold.
there,
It's
but it is.
colder down there.
Yeah. So you'll probably, it depends like where you're at as well. Is there a lot of people around you as well that kind of make you feel that way, or?
Not really. It's just I don't like the gaining of the excess weight. So I'm happy with where I'm currently at now, but if I feel like if I was to gain a little bit more body fat, like, am I really doing myself any favors, sort of thing? So yeah, because the mental health aspect is big as well. Sure, I want to be a little bit bigger, but like, is it worth the struggling for a couple of months with some body image issues?
Yeah, for sure. So right now, if I was saying to you, if you're happy to maybe do like a 2 week, 2 or 3 week mini cut a little bit of fat, make you feel where you're at, like, okay, I'm happy with what I look like right now, and then be at, say, around your maintenance, so you can still be hitting the gym hard. You're not going to feel so lethargic, and you could potentially still build muscle in maintenance. It's not going to be epic, like it's not going to be like if you're in a slight surplus, but you're not going to be feeling as groggy as well because you're not eating as much food. Because I know you had some problems with your skin and all that kind of stuff, and you'll be at a good body image where you're at. So you'll feel good because you look good as well. Digestion will be a little bit better because you'll be eating less food, and it'll be winter, so you won't be wearing like as much clothing. Like you'll be wearing more clothing, like jumpers and say and stuff like that. And then you could maybe go into a slight deficit. And the thing with losing a little bit more fat as well, you actually look bigger.
Yeah, it's the illusion.
It's the illusion as well. So it's like, if I was your coach, I would say if you're happy with it, yeah, mini cut for a little bit and then just cruise at maintenance until you're ready to either go for a full shred again up towards when summer's coming. It's also personal preference of like, are you happy with where you're at when you do the mini cut, or are you going to be okay with just being at maintenance as well? Because I know you don't like the word maintenance that much. But I know your mindset is good of like, okay, I'm actually can still build muscle in maintenance as long as my lifts are getting up and I'm feeling stronger as well. Like that 200 or 300 calorie or however much your surplus is, how much is that actually contributing to your strength gains? Like I dare say it's not, it may be adding a little bit, but how much really? Like if you're just dropping it back of like, I'm maintenance, like this is where your body's meant to be at. You know, you have enough carbs, you're having enough fat for your hormones and stuff like that. You're obviously eating enough protein. I know that. And if you can get to a place where your lifts aren't going down, but you're also maybe even gaining muscle at the same time, that'd be a really good place for you. And then you're like, okay, I've done like another 2 or 3 week block of like 4 weeks, so like another 12 weeks. And now I'm ready to cut down for summer. And because you're in a position right now where over a whole year, you may gain like maybe 1 to 3 kilos of muscle.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's like so minuscule. So it's like you could either, stay at maintenance and then just kind of, main gain as well. So you know you're looking good and you're trying to still build muscle. It's just going to be at a slower rate. Or because I know you said it's not that you don't like your body image too much. Like you said, you don't deal with that stuff as much anymore.
Yeah, no.
Like your body.
I don't. I know if I was to put on like say another 2 kilos of weight and so let's say 500 grams, that's muscle. So another 1.5 kilos of fat. I don't think I'd like the way that I look. Like I just feel in the gym at the moment, I just feel a bit sluggish and like almost unfit, like because I'm carrying extra weight. So I'm the heaviest I've been this year and I'm close to the heaviest I've been in several years.
So, do you know roughly where your body fat percentage is?
No idea.
No, I don't know. No, that's all right. I think, going off with how you feel as well. You're saying if you're sluggish in the gym, I think it is time maybe to, like you said, with your fast as well, you felt pretty good doing
fast. Yeah.
Maybe it is time for you to either go maintenance for a couple of weeks or go to a mini cut. Because the thing with also you're going from, what are you on, like 4,500 calories or something?
4,200.
Yeah, if you went into a deficit, that could be like well down to like maybe 2,500. And that's a big chunk. So maybe the phase right now is even just being at maintenance for a couple of weeks and then drop to a 2 or 3 week mini cut and then come back up to maintenance and then establish it from there. You know, and that's a part of coaching as well. It's not like, oh, this is the prescription, go off and do it. It's like, we're going to check in like every week to see how you progress or every 2 weeks to see how you're actually going, how you're feeling, because you can make one recommendation now and you'll do it. And then like halfway through, you're like, nah, this isn't working for me. And then like, you go, oh, what do I do now? And that's just like the consistent thing. But that's what I would say if I had a client like you, it's time to just maybe recharge that body of yours and take it easy with some maintenance.
Yeah. So I'm sort of torn. I was tossing up whether I was to do like a 2 week mini cut or whether I just go for another, say 5-6 weeks. So that would be the end of my next phase of training. If I go until then and then just diet down to be in what I would assume would be the best shape of my life for my birthday, which I think would be kind of cool, but it's placing a time frame on it. So I don't really
It's a
know.
thing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
Yeah.
like whatever you think it's gonna take, just double it, man. This
Yeah.
shit gets in the way.
Yeah, so I know during that period I don't have too many like events or anything like that. So yeah, I could probably get away with it. And like, what's there to do in August?
My brother's birthday.
Yeah, so like the last 4 weeks I could like really dial in leading up to my birthday. So yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to hear your perspective on that before I before we get onto the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, man. Well, you got it there.
Yeah. I'm torn, so I'll keep thinking about it over the next few days. I just, as I said, I'm giving myself a bit of leeway this week, so I've got time to decide, and I'll probably spend some more time thinking about it over the weekend and make a final decision from there. But yeah, I just thought it'd be interesting for people to hear a recommendation for someone that may be slightly struggling with the way that they look and they don't particularly like what they see, but they're really trying to gain muscle. Like the fitness influencers that you see on Instagram, they have gone through a phase where they've literally just devoted 6 to 9 months to gaining muscle, and they've been totally okay with gaining some fat. They've just saved up photos from when they're lean and used them during that time when they're gaining muscle for their Instagram, for engagement, to keep you connected to them. And then they've cut down and then they're in even better shape again. And they use those photos from that photo shoot for when they then go and gain muscle again. So yeah, I just want to give people a perspective that if you're really trying to gain muscle, there probably will be a little bit of fat gain, and you've got to be somewhat okay with it. Like if it gets crazy out of hand, then that's when a mini cut or something like that can come in handy. And mine's not crazy out of hand at the moment. It's just, yeah, I just would like to be a little bit leaner, and then can probably go back and be a little bit more aggressive with trying to build muscle again.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. Maybe even if you went to maintenance, you might drop a bit of fat as well,
Yeah,
like
so
just from not having so much food in you.
my thoughts were like around the 3,400 calorie mark. So that would be 800 calories gone.
Off, yeah.
Yeah, and I reckon I'd probably see a fair bit of change with that. And I'd say that it'd probably be pretty close to maintenance, probably the lower end of my maintenance range. So yeah, I'd say
Yes.
between 3,400 and, or let's say 3,300 and 3,700 would probably be close to my maintenance. So being at 4,200, I'm well above that. So,
Oh yeah, definitely.
but since I started, like I started pretty much in January, and I think I was like 88.8 kilos, and I'm now 94.1 as of this morning. So it's nearly 6 kilos that I've put on during that period, and it's definitely not 6 kilos of fat. If it was 6 kilos of fat, I'd be quite concerned.
Because
So it'll be
you went
interesting.
slow, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like when I do cut down how much different I look. So that's with time, though.
Yeah, you got pictures saved up for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the nuts and bolts of the podcast and full body training, why we like it, and how to design your own full body session. So there's many reasons why we like full body training. The first of which is if you miss a day because life happens, you aren't missing out on a whole muscle group like your traditional bro split. So, do you want to dive into that one further?
Yeah, for sure. So, say you're going into the gym and you're like, all right, today I'm going to work my chest. And then tomorrow I'm going to work my back. Next day it's legs. Next day it's shoulders. If you're missing one of those days, the next day you come in, you're going to do the same thing again. You're going to go Monday's chest and then shoulders. And then each time you're going to probably miss out on legs. Whereas if you're doing a full body session, you hit your legs, chest, back, shoulders, all in one session. And if you're like a busy CEO or you have kids or something, it's great for like beginners up to like even 2 to 3 times a week. You could do a full body session. And yeah, you don't have that. If I don't go to the gym, I'm not going to hit that body part. Yeah, you could probably, stack them off and then just like restart again. But most people don't like doing that. They like doing their favorite exercises every time when they go to the gym, because that's what they're good at. And with a full body, the pumps you get, you could like superset if you have short on time as well. Because yeah, it could probably take a little bit longer because you're obviously doing more exercises. But the good thing about it is you've got exercises you compare. So like your chest and your back, you know, legs and shoulders, stuff like that. So it's quite an efficient way of doing it as well. And that's why I like full body.
Yep. So yeah, it's the that ties into the second point, which is the muscle frequency aspect. So if you're just training chest once a week, you're only sending that muscle protein synthesis, that training stimulus once per week. Now that muscle protein synthesis lasts for 48, if you enhance, maybe up to 72 hours. So you're wanting to stimulate that muscle and that muscle building signal frequently throughout the week. So 2 to 3 times seems to be most optimal for most people. So yeah, if you're only training chest once a week, you're only hitting it once, and then if you're too sore to even do a push up for another week, you're probably overdoing it as well. So yeah, the frequency aspect is another really, really key point. You're stimulating that muscle building signal in each muscle group more frequently.
Yeah, and think about it as like I only have one, like I can only go to the gym once a week. Or it's like, well, are you just going to go chest one session for 1 week, and then the next week you're going to do back, and then the next week you do legs? Like by the time you come around to chest again, it's been like a couple of months. So you might, you know, you might as well be a little bit more strategic with just hitting the each body part in the session once or 3 times a week, and you'll feel a lot better than just like smashing your chest one time a week for fucking ages.
Yeah, you're not neglecting any body part for an extended period of time. So, because that can lead to things like muscle imbalances and postural imbalances. So yeah, you don't want that. You want to be working the body evenly. Okay, and another reason we really like is it tends to be better for beginners because you don't accumulate as much fatigue as you would say, for example, a leg session. So there's all this talk about leg day and wheelchairing yourself out of the gym and can't get up off the toilet and you're a hero for how sore your legs are. That's not a good thing. So for beginners that are worried about a leg day and that those sore legs and not being able to walk, full body is going to be much more friendlier with how much fatigue you accumulate throughout your session per muscle group. So if you're only doing 3 sets of dumbbell chest press and then you're doing 3 sets of leg press, you're only doing 3 sets. Whereas if you were to do a traditional leg day, you could be doing anywhere up to 20 sets of legs, and that's a huge accumulation of fatigue.
Yeah, and beginners, they'll grow with anything really. So you don't need that much stimulus to the body. And like it's just that mental game as well. If you've got 20 sets of legs going into a workout, that's why a lot of people miss legs, is because of that feeling you get of like destroying yourself. Obviously, highly competitive bodybuilders and stuff need to be pumping out a lot of sets like that, and maybe they'll split it up like 2 a days and that. But just for general people, just either starting out or have been doing it for maybe a year or two or three times a week, full body for most people works really well, and your sport for choice as well, because you've got so many muscle groups that, and you can work so many different muscle at once, like throughout the session, sorry. You could pick any exercise really. And if your favorite machine is taken, well, it's like, well, you've got another muscle group you can work today as well. It's not like all the benches are taken on your chest day Monday. Yeah, you know, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, dumbbells. Oh, all right, okay. Oh, those benches are taken as well. Oh, what do I do? Some push-ups. But nah, just go somewhere else and do something else. Obviously, if it's in your program, you can. Like us, we can find out any way of like doing a different exercise because we know there's a lot of exercises that you can do. But yeah, your sport for choice.
So that's one thing that, so majority of my clients are all on full body because they're usually 2, 3, sometimes 4 days a week. And that's one thing that's really beneficial is if they walk into the gym and the first two exercises that they're to do are with a, let's say the squat rack, and they're wanting to squat, and all the squat racks are taken, but they can go over and do a hack squat on a machine, then they can go do do a hack squat instead. And that may be in a different day. So they don't have to follow the same structure, because it's just do the four body sessions that I have prescribed for you over the space of the week. It doesn't matter when you do them, because it's full body.
Mm.
Whereas if you were to do, say, like a push pull or an upper lower, if you come in and you've trained upper body the day before and it looks like everyone's training legs that day, and you're like, oh, I'd have to hit upper body again, and you're backing two upper bodies back to back when it's meant to be upper lower, the program doesn't flow right. Whereas with full body, it's just, okay, this day there seems to be more equipment free, I'm going to do this day today. It doesn't really matter. So
yeah. And we're not saying that upper lower is bad or anything. We're just saying that for most people, it's a lot easier just to do a full body session.
Yeah. We're not talking down on upper lower or push pull legs. Or
they're great programs, yeah. Especially if you're like working out 4, 5, 6 times a week. Like when you get upwards of that, the full body can become a lot taxing. That's when you got to kind of program a little bit more of saying, okay, maybe this is a chest focused full body. Maybe this is a back focused full body, but when it comes to 2 or 3 times a week, just a normal full body is fine.
Now, in terms of what is a normal full body, let's talk about how we would design a full body session or structure a full body session. Mm. So for those that are confused on how they would go, what chest exercise do I pick? Or I'd focus your attention away from muscle groups and more onto movement patterns. So there are 7 fundamental human movement patterns, and that's typically the way that we design our sessions for our clients. So the movement patterns are push. Now you've got both horizontal and vertical. So that means up and then away.
Upper body push, yep.
Yep. You've got pull, which is the same thing. So you can pull down or in towards you. A squat. A hip hinge, which is essentially bending at the hips, a lunge, some form of rotation, and gait, which is your walking, so your stride. They are the 7 fundamental human movement patterns. And let's give a few exercises for each movement pattern to give people more of an idea of how they can structure their own full body session. So let's start with a upper body push.
Yeah.
Do you want to name a few?
For sure. Well, upper body push, you got to go to the old dumbbell presses, and that'll be a vertical push. So basically out in front of you, and you've got
Vertical push is up overhead.
Would be
horizontal,
like
is out in front.
Exactly. Yeah. Up above your head is a vertical, which would be say like a dumbbell, shoulder press, and then you've got your horizontal press, which would be the dumbbell presses. Yeah. So there's some like bench press, there's overhead presses, push presses. We're just look at the movement pattern, and if you're doing that movement pattern, then you tick it off. That's good for your upper body push. And yeah. I don't know what you like to do, but I like to pair it, either next or superset it with that same opposite movement pattern. So if I'm doing like a horizontal push, so a dumbbell press, I'd like to do like a horizontal pull. So like a row with it, like a seated row or just a barbell row or something like that. And if I was to do a dumbbell shoulder overhead press or something like that, I'd do something like a lat pull down or a pull up, or something that's pulling the opposite way. So you're getting both those stretches, and the pump you get from that is beautiful. And you could pair them for sure if you wanted, or you just keep them separate. Just depends.
Yeah. Depends on time and your goals. So
yeah, for sure.
If you're short on time, you can pair those two together, just like you could probably pair the squat and the hinge together. So it depends on time and how much time is available to you. So yeah, don't be regimented to just straight sets. I would also add dips into that, so weighted dips as a push exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably one I'd add. Now let's say the pull movements. So your horizontal would be the rows, as you were talking about. So it could be a bent over row, a T-bar row, a cable row,
dumbbell row.
Yeah, any sort of rows. And then the vertical pull would be your pull up, lat pull down. They're the main two, yeah?
Yeah.
Pull up, lat pull down. Yeah, yeah. So
Yeah.
They're your pull variations.
What do other people do?
And yeah, I typically tend to go, if I'm pushing up overhead, then I'll pull down. But that's not always the case. If someone
It's not a
has
stuck in
some,
rule at all.
yeah. So just make sure you'll cover one of each throughout the week. So I would just do one horizontal push pull and then one vertical push pull throughout the week,
Yeah, for sure.
just to make sure you're covering your bases. Okay. Now the squat movement pattern. I'll let you list off some exercises.
Yeah, so obviously you've got your squat. So barbell squat, high bar squat, low bar squat, front squat, hack squat, goblet squat, heels elevated squat. There's so many. Just body weight squat. If you're just starting out, you could do it at home. You could just do a standard squat. If you know the squat pattern, you know, and you could make up so many different exercises with it, but just don't do like a squat into a bicep curl or something. It's a waste of time.
So you listed them all off perfectly there. It's sitting down, standing up. It's quite simple if you think about it. Now, I said earlier that much like how you were combining the push pull together, you could probably get away with combining the squat and hip hinge together. So your hip hinge variations are things like Romanian deadlift, back extension, good morning, your traditional deadlift to an extent. They would be your hip hinge movement patterns.
Ideal, yep.
Yep. So, and if you wanted to, you could do a single leg RDL if you really wanted to, but just as long as you're hinging at the hip is all we're after. Okay. Now a
Yeah.
lunge.
Oh yeah, the old lunge. So you go front lunge, rear lunge, you could go side lunge, lunging on a box.
Everyone's favorite Bulgarian split squats.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Would you call that a lunge or would you call that a squat? It's
Oh,
hard.
it's a single leg movement, so I call it a lunge. I don't really look at the lunges like I'm actually doing lunges. I just look at it as a single leg movement. So occasionally, if someone comes to me with the intent of wanting to develop their posterior chain, occasionally in the hip hinge, this is typically for female clients, I'll include a hip thrust. And then in the lunge, I might do like a single leg RDL. It's just that I'm just wanting that single leg movement pattern because we spend so much of our life on one leg. So you might as well get good at being on one
Get
leg.
strong, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes, yeah, so split squats, I guess you heel elevated, like front foot elevated. The list goes on with a lunge.
There's a whole heap of variations. So just pretty much anything where you're on one leg.
What's that one how you just do it single leg down? Oh, that's more like a squat, isn't it?
Pistol squat.
Yeah, that'd be a pistol squat.
Yeah, I'd still put that in the lunge
Would you?
category, even though it says squat. Yeah, anything single leg for me
A lot
is a
of
lunge.
semantics about that as well. People are saying like a lunge is something that you lift off your feet, whereas a squat, yeah. But just do the movement pattern however you see fit, really. As long as you're
And
getting it.
anything essentially single leg or where your legs are split.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Next. A bit of rotation. So, how many times have you heard of someone reaching around to deal with a naughty kid in the back of the car, or pick up a toy,
Pick up a
or
sock.
a drop bottle, or and they tweak their back? That's because they're not doing anything to train rotation, and their body doesn't have the strength to deal with it. So then they tweak their back. So rotation is pivotally important. That's why it is a fundamental human movement pattern. So there should be some form of rotation. Now, I would also include anti-rotation into this. So some people don't quite have the strength to rotate with control just yet. So things like a side plank or a Palof press could be beneficial before your traditional rotation, like a wood chop, a landmine rotational twist, a windmill. There's all brilliant forms of rotation, but just make sure you've got the prerequisites first to be able to rotate with strength and control before you just jump into explosive wood chops.
Yeah, or just get even a band. You could do some band wood chops just to start you out if you're at home again. But yeah, those you mentioned the landmine press. I have not done that in so long. Like
the
full
rotational one.
rotation. I used to do it all the time when I was like 17, 18, 19. I loved it, man. And I still
It's
see people
great.
doing it and that. I'm just like, oh, must have been in a program or something that I was doing. But fuck, I might have to try that again and film it and get it going, because that just really got the core going. Full rotation. Obviously didn't know what I was working. I was just like, oh, that looks cool. I'll do that. You can do a lot of things on that landmine attachment.
Yeah,
And if
absolutely.
you don't have one in your gym either, you could just go up against a corner somewhere and just put the barbell in the corner, and there's your landmine right there. I saw in an old gym, there was just like a piece of this wall that had just been belted through just from people putting the barbell in there and using it as a landmine attachment. Because like they must be making a stand or something. Of like, they're not buying this shit. We're just gonna destroy the wall and make our own.
Yeah, so I really like that landmine rotation twist. I program that quite regularly, so that's a really good one. But yeah, don't sleep on like just a Palof press or a side plank if you're looking for that lateral core stability and fighting rotation. So
Do you want
they're
to
just as
explain to
important.
people what the Palof press is?
So
They haven't
Palof
heard.
press, you'll have an attachment set up at roughly shoulder chest height, and you'll be standing directly side on to the attachment point, the pivot point,
So on a
and you'll bring
cable.
the yep, and you'll bring the handles to the middle of your chest, and you'll press directly out in front, trying to keep your hips square and your shoulders square. So you're essentially just trying to maintain a straight spine and stay nice and still. As you push out and you're reaching out in front, that cable is going to want to pull you back because the forces of gravity are going against the weight stack. So you push out in front, just maintain a nice straight torso and try not to rotate your hips because your hips will want to cave in because that's just easier for your body and your body doesn't give a shit about form. So make sure you maintain neutral hips and a straight spine, and that's your anti-rotation. So I would include that in the rotation category as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, and the final fundamental human movement pattern is your gait. So walking, we do a lot of it as humans. So should probably practice it. Plus, it gets you real good at carrying the groceries in one trip. So farmers carries. I quite like suitcase carries. There's also the trap bar deadlift if you can pick it up and walk with that. I also don't mind sled pushes here as some form of gait and walking. They're the big four for me. Have you got any others?
Like you said, the suitcase carriers are great because it's working on really stabilizing your one side as all the weight's going down on one side. You could even hold one down the bottom and hold one up high as well. That's good for stability as well. But yeah, the ones for carriers, like you mentioned, the groceries, mate, just go around them. Carry them. Yeah, you mentioned the main ones, I think.
So just some form of walking whilst under load is that's all we're after there.
I guess you could do some sprints as well. Heel sprints
So
and stuff like that.
yeah, anything where one leg is going in front of the other.
That's it.
Yeah.
People know how
So
to do that.
now you may be confused listening, going, oh, but what order should I do it in? Should I do it in the order that you've just laid out for me? So push, pull, squat, hinge, lunge, rotate, gait, or can I do it in a different order? Now, your order should be based on your exercise selection, and your exercise selection should be based on your preferences. So if there's a particular body part that you are looking to develop more than others, I'd prioritize that at the start of the session when you're fresh. So if you really want to grow your glutes, I'd probably prioritize an RDL at the start of the movement. And if you couldn't give a rat's ass about chest, then I'd probably put that towards the end of your session. So exercise selection and where you place each movement pattern in order throughout the workout should be based purely on preference of which do I want to work on more. Or it could be you've selected your exercises for each one and you've gone, okay, the squat is the most taxing. I'll prioritize that at start when I'm freshest compared to a,
Deadlift.
yeah, compared to a cable row, which is relatively simple in comparison to a squat.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you want to look at what's going to be taxing the most, like with your compounds and isolations as well. The only time you would probably put the isolation at the front is if you want to bring up a real lagging body part, say maybe your side delt or something. Like, I don't think there's many compound movements that are doing your side delt, so you can pump them out straight away. You could superset it if you wanted to. So you could do like your legs with your side delts. Let's just do your side delts first. That's fine. But yeah, it's personal preference where you want to put them. But if you want to develop all round different, like all round body, then you're like, oh, I don't really have body parts that I want to bring up. I just want to bring everything up together. Personal preference. Like one week you might do all legs at the start, and then or do like a 4 week block for that, and then you just move the exercises down each time, and then they're getting cycled through what's going to get in front first. Or you could do it throughout the week. So like you could do legs on the Monday and start with legs on the Monday, then start with the chest on the Wednesday, and then maybe start on with back on the Wednesday, on the Friday, sorry. So it's the world's your oyster when it comes to programming and stuff like this, but it's more like what's the fundamental movement patterns and just putting them in places where you see fit, like we've laid out today.
Yep. So follow those seven. Now, I will add, if you're not short on time and there is a particular body part that you really want to develop that isn't really addressed in the fundamental movement pattern. So let's say calves or biceps or triceps or the middle delt, as you mentioned there, just add an extra exercise in and just call it your accessory exercise. So this is obviously time dependent. I wouldn't be chucking the accessory exercise in at the start if you're short on time. I'd make sure you cover the seven fundamental human movement patterns throughout your workout and then add the accessory on the end. But if you know you've got
Lovely.
heaps of, yeah, if you know you've got heaps of time, then throw it in at the start and then get through all your work afterwards. But
Yeah,
that's where you'd
'cause
add, yeah, that's where you'd add things like biceps, triceps,
yeah, and if
and
you know you're not going to
calves.
do them, put them at the front. Because like, people skip that kind of stuff and they never get done because you're so taxed for the through the whole session. So a little tip for you there, or just have its own day. Like it doesn't have to be, in with the big boys. Maybe on like on the weekend when you have more time, you're like, oh, I might just go in there and do some arms and calves and stuff, or core and that. Like even though core is obviously in our movement patterns, it's like, no, I'm fine. I would just do that, and that's all good. Like, there's no like one set thing that you have to do. And yeah, if you're not going to, and the thing is as well, if you don't enjoy the exercise, you're not going to do them. So make sure you're picking exercise that you actually enjoy. And that's why we've given you movement patterns of like, okay, we need to do a vertical push. All right, what do I like? I don't like shoulder presses. What else? Oh, I like overhead presses. Cool. Let's do that. Bang. Easy. Done, mate.
Do what you prefer.
Exactly. That'll keep you in the gym the most instead of doing exercises that you don't like.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so that's we've listed off some reasons why we prefer full body. So the frequency aspect.
You're
If you
hitting
miss a
more muscle
day,
groups, yeah.
yeah, if you miss a day, you aren't missing out on a whole muscle group for like the space of a week or 2 weeks. It's better for beginners because you don't accumulate as much fatigue and muscle damage, and you're spoilt for choice with your exercises. So, for example, if you just really like bench, you can do bench 3 times a week if you really want to.
There you go.
So don't overthink it. And then we cover the seven fundamental human movement patterns. So you push, pull, squat, hip hinge, lunge, rotate, and then gait walk. If you really, really wanted to and you have had heaps of time, you can add in an accessory movement for a lagging body part that you really wanted to bring up. And that's pretty much a wrap for today's episode.
Yeah.
We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. If you enjoyed or took any value at all from this episode, we would really appreciate it if you took a screenshot and shared to your Instagram stories. Don't forget to tag us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock_Dalgleish. We would also love if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. And before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers.